ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's a well-known verse, so you can chant after me. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatang priti purvakam Dadami buddhi yogam tam.
Dadami buddhi yogam tam.
Yena mam upayanti te.
Yena mam upayanti te.
To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yogam itself is action in Krishna consciousness, which is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence and yogam means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some work, some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is intelligent enough, he will make progress on the path of self-realization. If one is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Just the other day I read this verse and purport it, as I've done many times, and was particularly struck by one short sentence. You've probably all had that experience that you read in Srila Prabhupada's book something which you've read before, maybe many times, and suddenly one part just speaks to you, or it leaps out at you, to use an idiomatic phrase. It's the significance of it just strikes you very strongly. So, with me this time, it was this statement in the toward the end of the first paragraph in the purport. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. Simple statement. And for those of us who are fortunate to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, under the guidance and direction of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, it may seem like a very ordinary statement. It's a very basic statement. Certainly it's very basic because it's the basis of everything we do. That the ultimate goal is Krishna. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. It's the ultimate goal of everything that we do because we haven't reached Krishna. We're in the sense that we're not perfectly in Krishna consciousness. We are sadhakas. That means we are on the path of progress. We're not at the stage of sadhya or siddhi, of attaining the full perfection of Krishna consciousness. And this verse that Krishna speaks here is for sadhakas, or refers to sadhakas, those who are on the path of becoming Krishna conscious. And Krishna says he helps them to traverse the path and come to the goal, which is himself. So this sentence struck me, very short sentence. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. And it struck me that this is the summation of all the Vedas, with the Upanishads and the commentaries of the Acharyas, and all Vedic knowledge is summarized here. Because the Vedas are meant for people in the material world to give them knowledge. Veda means knowledge, and knowledge means that the ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. There may be interim goals, as Srila Prabhupada also discusses in this purport when he's talking about karma yoga and jnana yoga. But when one is in full intelligence, which is discussed in this verse, this term, buddhi yoga, when one is in full intelligence, then he knows that the ultimate goal is Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada writes, people do not know this. So that again links us to, actually every statement in Srila Prabhupada's books, you could find the Shastric source of it. He's giving statements completely rooted in Shastra. So people do not know this. Nati vidu swartha gating hi Vishnu. They don't, which it says, people do not know this. People do not know that the ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. So there you have it. Nate vidu swartha gating hi Vishnu. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. Then there are so many statements in Shastra about the association of devotees, but about making progress. Well, we can go on to the next sentence. Once you know that the goal is Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is restating this, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. This sounds like a Coveyism, doesn't it? You know Covey, Stephen Covey, you've ever heard of Stephen Covey? He was very popular in ISKCON at one time. One of my godbrothers who was really into Covey, Stephen Covey, and I say, oh, what do you want to take this for? He said, everything's in Prabhupada's books. So he said, well, it's just a template that you can use his teachings in devotional service. But my point was that why don't we take the template given by Srila Prabhupada and given by the Shastra? Why do we? So the same thing. Kavi says, start with the goal in mind. That's one of his famous sayings. How do I know? I never read any of his books, actually, but you just hear these things said so many times that it's entered the language, entered the consciousness of so many devotees. Win-win. Have you ever heard of win-win? Win-win situation. It's a Coveyism. But it's nonsense, because the material world is all lose-lose. Whatever you do, whatever they think is winning is all losing. Make a deal. You benefit and I benefit. It may have some application. Just like in the morning I'm catching mosquitoes as they're trying to get out of the window. Catch them and put them outside. So it's good for them, good for me. Win-win situation. But there's an example. But the real win is to go to the spiritual world and not have to take birth as a mosquito again. So many Navsari must be the mosquito capital of Gujarat. Is it? It's famous for mosquitoes. Huh? Must have been so many envious people here. They don't seem very envious, but the number of, in Kali Yuga, the number of envious creatures increases because people are envious, and then they get a suitable body like that of a mosquito. Huh?
Other cities, there is so many vehicles, pollution.
There's so much pollution, and here it's all, these are all NRI houses around here. They're all empty. There's no one here. Right? You can see there's no lights on at night, which means, yeah, no industries and no pollution. Gujarat is famous for being samridh, opulent, developed, progressive. It means they have lots of factories, lots of pollution. So the mosquitoes can flourish, not being poisoned by the the whole of Bharuch Ankleshwar area. It's like you have this good night, it's like one big good night for killing mosquitoes. The whole atmosphere is like that. So anyway, winning, one should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, so this is start with the goal in mind. And this could be true if you say the goal is something else. You should know what your goal is, what is your goal in life, and then you slowly but progressively traverse the path. But the whole point is that we should know what the goal is. People have all wrong goals. Nate vidu swartha gatinghi Vishnu. Even the followers of the Vedic literature, they have different goals. Atato brahma jignyasa. The goal is, now we should inquire about Brahman. We should make Brahman, attaining Brahman, our goal. What is that goal? King tad brahma, kim adhyatmam, Arjuna asks. And then, generally in the Upanishads, that's taken as being impersonal. As stated in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, yad brahma upanishad, what is that? Yad advaitam brahma upanishad tadapyasya tanubha. That which is considered of as oneness in the Upanishads is but the effulgence from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for the impersonalists, they get the right sutra, the Brahma Sutras, but they don't get the proper understanding of it. And then there's Atato, Dharma Jignyasa, those are on the path of karma. Ata yoga anushasanam, in the Yoga Sutras. Now we shall discuss about yoga. Yoga in this sense being understood to mean yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga means to stop the activities of the mind, of the consciousness. So one should know that the goal is Krishna. When you've been a yogi and a karmi and a gyani and everything else possible, when you've been a mosquito and a fly and a tree and a snake and an Indra and a Brahma, then one should come to the goal. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And slowly but progressively traverse the path. So this, the association of devotees, Srila Prabhupada mentions, knowing that the goal is Krishna, and the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved, that reminds us of another verse that Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Satang Prasangang Mamavirya Sangvido Bhavanti Rit Karna Rasayana Kata Bhavanti Tajoshvana Rashvapa Varga Vartmani Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishati. In the association of devotees, discussion of topics of Krishna is very pleasing to the ear, to the heart, and it acts as a tonic to nourish our spiritual life. By doing so, we make progress on the path, on which path, as mentioned here in the purport, the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world, that's apavarga vartma, the technical term. And one makes progress. First, there's by hearing, one has shraddha, one gets faith, a taste for that, attraction to hearing about Krishna, and ultimately one achieves the goal. And the goal of progress is Krishna, and specifically to develop devotion to Krishna, pure devotion to Krishna. So hearing Srila Prabhupada and reading his books, that effect is there. Is it not? That one will have faith in Krishna, and that the goal of life is to attain Krishna. Our faith is made stronger and stronger by regularly reading and by hearing. We can hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures and talks, and there's no doubt that Srila Prabhupada is completely convinced. Now, of course, people may be convinced about so many nonsense things, but Srila Prabhupada presents Krishna consciousness with that uncommon feature of common sense. It's not very common. Hardly any. Common sense means to know I'm suffering in this world. You don't need to read Bhagavad Gita to know that, but you do need, because people don't realize it. Nate vidu swarta gatenghi vishnum durashaya ye bahiratamanin. They don't know the goal of Vishnu, and they're hoping against hope to be happy in this material world, which is nonsense. But we don't know that. So we have to hear from someone who has the common sense to tell us that we're suffering, we're not meant for suffering, we are controlled, so we should find out how we're controlled and submit to the controller. So it's all very logically presented. Shastra plus a very clear understanding of Shastra, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutra Padaishaiva Hetu Madbir Vinischitai. How does that verse begin? Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chandobir Vivitai Pritak Brahma Sutra Padaishaiva Hetu Madbir Vinischitai. So this verse means that the rishis have in various ways sung about or spoken about the ultimate truth. Rishibir Bahuda, the Vedic hymns, they give various understandings of what that truth is. But that absolute truth is ascertained in the Brahma Sutras, with all reasoning as to cause and effect. So the Brahma Sutras, they present the ultimate reality, and all derived from Shastra, but with a clear understanding of it. Otherwise, people can and do take Shastra and speak all nonsense. It's very common, you may have noticed, being in India especially. Most of the misconceptions, that, in at least numerically speaking, most of the misconceptions that Srila Prabhupada had to deal with were coming from Hinduism. That we are all God, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Kurukshetra means the body, and the five Pandavas mean the five senses, and so many strange ideas. But by hearing Srila Prabhupada, by the very sound of his voice is so convincing, but we shouldn't be convinced just by the sound of someone's voice. Otherwise, we can be misled. Someone may be fully convinced that he is God. We may believe it. I mean, there are many people who've cheated others in that way. So we have to understand also. Anyway, how to understand? There's so many people saying so many things. And Krishna gives the clue here. If Tesham Satata Yuktanam Pajatang Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamupayanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Most people who read Bhagavad Gita, when they come to this verse, they don't get a proper understanding. It's very clear that Krishna will help those who are devoted to him. This whole section of Gita begins from just two verses prior to this, that Aham sarasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Is about worshipping Krishna, understanding him to be the source of everything, worshipping him with love. So those who do that, Krishna says, he gives the intelligence by which they come to him. But there are so many people who read Bhagavad Gita and they don't have a clue about any of this. They're just misled by various Mayavadis, or just not envious of Krishna. They read Bhagavad Gita, but they're envious of Krishna. So we're very fortunate, at least I'm very happy to have Srila Prabhupada as my guru, who gives such clear understanding, not just making things up, but always quoting Shastra, following the previous acharyas, fully trustworthy in his instructions, in his personal life. We're very, very fortunate to be connected with such a great guru. There are so many gurus. Most of them are cheating, those who go in the name of gurus, because they don't know that the ultimate goal of life is Krishna. They have some other idea. They may not. They may be what they think is sincere, but they didn't get the intelligence given by Krishna, because they then to understand him and come to him, because they're not actually sincere to surrender to Krishna. I was just listening to a conversation with Srila Prabhupada in which he spoke. Now, one of his disciples said that one Swami, one of these Anandas, one Mayavadi guru, in his talks on Bhagavad Gita — this Mayavadi guru is very famous for promoting Bhagavad Gita — so in his talks on Bhagavad Gita, he says, "I'll only speak on the important verses," as if some verses are not important. He said, so he cuts out many of the verses. So Prabhupada said, "Then you should cut his head off, because his head is not important. He's talking all nonsense." What a great response. And then this conversation went on. Of course, that wasn't to be taken literally. The devotees didn't say, "Okay, Prabhupada told us to go and cut off his head, and let's go and find him and cut off his head." But as the conversation went on, the devotees were saying that all these Mayavadis, they're very afraid of Prabhupada, because his Bhagavad Gita, as it is, exposes them all. And they're very afraid of Prabhupada and his disciples, because they speak all these things, and they get exposed, and their profession will be finished. And then it went on, and Srila Prabhupada spoke about how in Chicago he'd spoken against this women's liberation thing, and they were all very angry at him, and And it came in the newspapers, and Prabhupada was, you know, laughing like that. So, that he's speaking the truth, that men and women are not the same, they're not equal. And Prabhupada gave the example that if you say men and women are equal, then one time the women should get pregnant and next time the man. But they're not. They have different functions. So like this, Srila Prabhupada would give very pertinent examples to demonstrate the truths of Shastra. And then one of Prabhupada's disciples in this talk said, oh, there's one woman, she was complaining that Prabhupada gives such examples, we feel very uncomfortable. But Prabhupada said, yeah, but it's the truth. You may feel uncomfortable, but it's the truth. So there is an idea that we shouldn't make anyone feel uncomfortable, but Srila Prabhupada would often quote in this regard that satyam bruyat priyam bruyat ma bruyat satyam apriyam from Manu, that one should speak the truth and one should speak that which is pleasing, but one should not speak an unpleasing truth. But Prabhupada said this doesn't apply. This is in ordinary dealings. This doesn't apply when we have to discuss what's the actual point of our life. When we have to discuss spiritual matters, it's too important to neglect to speak the truth. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a man or a boy is flying a kite at the edge of a cliff, and he's looking up and at the kite, and he doesn't see that he's in danger of falling off the cliff. So someone may say, be careful. And the boy may say, looking up at the sky, what are you saying to be careful? You fool, you're going to fall off the cliff. You have to shout. And for his benefit, you have to tell him. He may say, well, I don't want to upset him, so I'll just say, oh, you're flying your kite very nicely. You're flying your kite. First of all, I have to make friends with him and win his trust. And in the meantime, he's dead. He fell off the cliff. So this being, we should be, of course, we shouldn't unnecessarily be not nice, but it is necessary to inform people of the fact that they are going to hell without Krishna, without surrendering to Krishna. Otherwise, this being nice, this overemphasis on it, I'm very suspicious of it, actually. Because in many cases, it seems to me, it's part of the animalistic propensity of ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha bhayam. Fear, you don't want people to dislike you. Or you think if you become very strong, then they'll react very strongly to you. So you're nice, it's I'm okay, you're okay, and we all live peacefully together. So one, just like an animal, if you show a stick to them, then they may be a dog, they may become very humble and submissive. But it's to save themselves from a beat. They sometimes a dog, they'll roll on the ground with the on the back, just to show I'm a shishyasteham shadi mang tuam prapa, I'm fully surrendered to you. But it's for their own physical survival. It's not that they actually have any spiritual love or any. This whole idea is very spiritual, to be nice to others, but in most cases in human society, it's a technique that people adopt just for living without too much trouble. And we often see people who are very nice when they get some power, then when they don't have to be nice to others, then they're not nice. Therefore it's said, power corrupts. It's not that the power corrupts, it's just that the people are pretending not to be corrupt because it suits them at the present time. So we should not be fooled by this Mayavadi idea. Everyone should be nice. Mayavadi idea in the sense that they're talking all nonsense. They should have their head cut off, at least figuratively. They should be exposed for being fools and rascals. But if we're all nice, then we can't do that. So Srila Prabhupada's books, they may not be so very nice. Shukadev Goswami, what he speaks, it's not all nice. The people, they like to hear only the 10th canto of the Rasa Leela. Well, before that, come many relevant instructions. Nayang deho dehabhajan riloke kashtan kaman arhati vidbhujam ye tapo devyam putrika yena sattvam shudyad yasmad brahma sokyam twanantam. Rishabdev, in the 5th canto, well, long before the 10th canto, it tells his sons, don't live like pigs. It's the first thing. He calls them all together, instructs them, and first thing he says, don't live like pigs. Well, that's quite an instruction, isn't it? Imagine if we go up to people and say, don't live like a pig. They'd be insulted. We give the book, it says it in the book. It's somewhat removed from direct. Don't live like pigs who are simply laboring hard for sense gratification. Laboring hard in the sense that pigs spend all their time searching out sense gratification. One should perform divine austerities for the sake of purification, so that one can achieve to eternal, unlimited, spiritual bliss. So this is a very strong lesson. There was Mr. Shethi in Bombay. He never actually took initiation from Srila Prabhupada, although the service he performed to Srila Prabhupada was... of course, you can't exactly measure spiritual service, but we can say the service he performed was very significant, possibly more than many of Srila Prabhupada's initiated disciples. So he said that when he first met Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada asked him, so what are you doing? And he said, well, I think he was a contractor, building contractor. Prabhupada asked, well, how do you spend your day? He said, I get up in the morning and then I drink some tea and I go to work and I come back at night and I go to sleep. And Prabhupada said, so what is the difference between you and a pig? First time he met him. And he thought, oh yeah, Prabhupada's right. I'm living like a pig. I have no spiritual life. Of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't say that to everyone he met. And Mr. Shethi was submissive enough to take it, to accept it. He was a real kshatriya. He'd actually killed people at the time of the partition, he explained. He was from Punjab, means border area. And when that temple that was demolished by this rascal, Matre, who was the adopted son of Mr. Nair in Bombay. So they were going to rebuild it over the weekend while the courts were closed, before Nair could put a stay order. They said, you have to know Prabhupada's pastimes in Bombay to know this. So he started building it, and Mr. Shetty was there protecting, he and his son. So the Matre, the local police commissioner, or not police commissioner, he came and said, I'm going to bring 50 gundas and just beat you all up and stop this. And Shethi said, you bring more than 50. I have a gun. My son has a gun. We have 200 bullets. Bring more. They never came. So, Prabhupada, he gave his blessings to people in various ways. Prabhupada was himself, you could see how he was given that intelligence, how he would react to people in all kinds of situations, how he would speak to them and preach to them. His books, they were clearly completely inspired by Krishna, how he's able to pack in all the essential teachings of Shastra and put them in simple English so that anyone can understand them. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. Yeah, there you have all the shelves and shelves of books and hundreds of thousands of biographies of yogis and all condensed there. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. Good to remember as we get caught up in our various activities of bodily maintenance, trying to adjust ourselves within the society, even within the society of devotees. We always have to remember the ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. Everything we're doing is meant for that. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Anything? Question? Okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.